Because I have the microphone and y'all are all looking at me. One of those was my wife. And her and Kate's voice match so perfectly. I have really enjoyed hearing them sing together. I would like to invite all of you to grab your Bible or your cell phone or your iPad and open up the Bible app. Turn in it to Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. If you don't know where that is, it is the third book of the New Testament. As you can tell, it's about 80 to 85% of the way through the book. So, amen when you get there. Amen. Luke 1, 26 through 38. When Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a city in Galilee, to a virgin who was engaged to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David's house. The virgin's name was Mary. When the angel came to her, he said, "Rejoice, favored one, the Lord is with you." She was confused by these words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Then the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Mary. God is honoring you. Look, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father. He will rule over Jacob's house forever, and there will be no end to his kingdom." Then Mary said to the angel, "How will this happen since I haven't had sexual relations with a man?" The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come over you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the one who is to be born will be holy. He will be called God's Son. Look, even in her old age, your relative Elizabeth has conceived a son. This woman, who was labeled unable to conceive, is now 6 months pregnant. Nothing is impossible for God." Then Mary said, "I am the Lord's servant. Let it be with me just as you have said." Then the angel left her. The word of God for the people of God. Amen. So, Nolan and I talked last night. Oh, wait. My name is John Simonson. I am the pastor of Discipleship and Young Families here. I'm also a full-time police officer in Orange Beach, and I am super excited to be here with y'all this morning. Maybe a little bit nervous, too, because as I was saying, Pastor Nolan and I talked last night, and he said there was a 75% chance he would be here today. I said, "That's good enough for me." And then at 7 o'clock again this morning, we talked, and he said, "There is a 100% chance I will not be there." And I said, "Oh, Lord." But God is good all the time, and God knows what he is doing. And especially that we are talking about Mary today. What I love about Mary is she is completely different from Zechariah, who we talked about last week. If you remember the story of Zechariah last week, he was a priest. He studied and lived his life to serve God in the temple. The story last week picked up where Zechariah, on the one day of his life, he was going to get to go into the Holy of Holies, the temple of God, and do his duty that he'd been preparing for his whole life. He had an encounter with God, which is, frankly, kind of expected, right? I mean, if you live your life for God your whole life, you should expect to hear from God. You should expect to see God. You should expect something amazing to happen. And Zechariah experienced that. We also learned from Pastor Nolan last week that Zechariah was in a place in his life where he had kind of given up on God, and just been satisfied with the way life was. But Mary is different. than Zechariah. Mary is a nobody. Mary is a young woman engaged to be married from a town like Alberta. You know, just kind of out there. You drive through it occasionally. They have the sausage festival every year. No, we love everybody from Alberta. But Nazareth was a town that wasn't a big town. It wasn't the center of activity. It wasn't the hub of everything going on. It was a town where even the disciples, when they met Jesus, said, "What good ever came out of Nazareth?" I mean, it was just a nothing town and a nothing young lady who I guarantee you never expected to experience God. Never expected for an angel to appear to her and say, "Mary, you are a favored one. The Lord is with you." That puzzled her. That confused her. She was like, "What kind of greeting is that? Why am I favored? What have I done?" I just can't help but to think that we've all been in those shoes. I think we've been in those shoes more than we actually realize we have. I think there are times in our life where God has shown up and our response is, what have I done? Who am I? I think that happens more than we actually recognize or more than we are willing to admit. I mean, how many times in our life has your situation changed or something happened and you just say, whoa, I'm comfortable with the status quo. I don't deserve any favor from God right now. I don't need to be anything special. Just let me be me. I bet that's kind of the confusion Mary might have been having. I know it's a lot of confusion I have, especially 7 o'clock on Sunday. I might be saying, "Whoa, God, I'm comfortable in the second chair." But sometimes God calls us and says, "You may not think you're anybody. You may not recognize that I'm about to do something new. You don't understand my plans, but you are the person I need. You are the favored one, and I am with you." And in that confusion, there comes a task. You are going to have a child. He will be the Son of God. He will reign forever on a kingdom. His kingdom will reign forever. Man, that must have been incredibly scary. It must have been a really big, wake-up call. You know, what's that thing? Mind blown. What's interesting to me is how Mary handles that. I think she might have been a little better than me. I love the fact that she asks how, because I know I ask how. I usually ask why or why me. But I love that the fact that she asks how, she says, "Excuse me, God. You recognize that I'm not married yet. There's a step in here we might be missing." It's kind of big. It's how things work. But the angel says, "The power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you." God will overshadow you. How many times do we tell God, God, there's a lot of steps that need to be taken before what you're telling me you're going to accomplish can be accomplished? How many times do we call out to God, but God, that's not how this works. But God, that's not the way we do things around here. But God, it's always been done this way in the church. But God, we're missing some things. You know, the difference between us and Mary is, I think that a lot of times for me, I stop right there. And I dismiss God and say, God, you are not going to do that because you don't understand how it works. You are missing a lot of steps. I'm so glad that you told me you want me to go and do this, but you're not telling me how I'm going to go do this. You're not telling me the process that I'm going to go through. And I'm so busy looking at God saying, God, no, this can't work. No, God, I need more than an hour and a half. No, God, I need it to work what I'm comfortable, the way I'm comfortable, the way it always works. I need it to happen the way it's always happened because that's the only way that I really understand it. And in the midst of that argument, in the midst of that God, why, no, how, it can't be done any different way, we miss this voice of God that says, I am about to overcome you with the Holy Spirit and I will overshadow you and it will happen. And we miss this voice. But the great thing about Mary is she didn't miss this voice. The angel was standing there, and after she says, I'm a little confused, the angel says, the Holy Spirit will take control. And then the absolute greatest line in the Bible. It has to be the absolute greatest line in the Bible is spoken by Mary in verse 38. After the angel says, the Spirit of God will overshadow you, Mary says, I am the Lord's servant, and let it be just as you have said. This is what sets Mary apart. This is what makes Mary better than me. Mary was a nobody from nowhere, of no importance, but was chosen by God, told what was going to happen to her. And instead of arguing with God or getting stuck on the fact that his plans weren't fitting into the way or the routine that we understand, she heard God say, I will overshadow you, my Spirit will be upon you. And her response is, I am your servant. Let it be just as you said it would. Imagine that. Imagine that in your life. What happens to you if God shows up, throws a wrench in your comfortable life, if he challenges you to get out of your routine, if he says, I'm going to do a new thing, and I'm going to use you to do it, and instead of looking for reasons and ways not to let that happen, we simply responded, I am yours. Let it be exactly how you want it to be. What would happen in our lives? How would that change the struggles? How would that change the unexpected? How would that change how God moves in our lives? what would happen to us? What would happen in our church if we became a church full of Marys? What if we weren't so set in routines? We weren't so set in the way things have always been done. What if we weren't so set in what the church is traditionally defined as? What if we said, we are willing to be servants of the Lord, and however he wants to do that, our only response will be, let it be. You know, I got the opportunity to teach or join a conversation in the Wesley Sunday School class this morning. I was very grateful that they asked me to take part in that. And we were talking about understanding God's word. We were talking about hearing God's voice. We were talking about how this book right here is the word of God, and he speaks to us all. But we were talking about, how do we know what he's telling us to do? How do we know that he's doing something in a nobody's life like mine? And what we discovered is that there is a filter or a lens that has to be put over this. It has to be, we have to wear special glasses in order to be able to read this so that we hear that voice that says, my spirit will overcome you, I will overshadow you. And that lens, those glasses, that filter that we have to apply is named Jesus. We can read these words and know these words, but unless we understand the way of the Lord that goes with the word of the Lord, we won't be able to be in that place where Mary is that we say, let it be. That if we filter everything in this book, everything we know through a relationship with Jesus, through an openness with Jesus, through this love of Jesus, and we say, whatever it is God says, whatever it is God does in our life, whatever it is that he changes, or whatever that routine that he tears up the gears in and says, this is what we're going to do. If we could look at that with the filter of Jesus and the love he has, and the love for what he is doing, and the love for the life that he is bringing, what would happen? What would happen? What would happen here? What would happen in here? What would happen in here? Mary's life was changed forever. Mary saw a baby in a manger with kings bowing before it. Mary saw a 12-year-old teaching adults in the synagogue. Mary saw a man live a new life. Mary saw a son die on the cross. Mary saw a world change because she was willing to say, I am your servant, Lord. I want to seek after your ways. Let it be the way you say it. So if we start studying this word and we want to learn how God says it, what it is God is saying, if we want to be able to say, let it be just as you say, we have to know what he says. And that has to be filtered through this heart that Jesus has that says, my love is transforming. It's changing. It grows. It is new. It is something new all the time, every time. You know, Advent, what we do is we prepare for the coming of Jesus. we prepare our hearts to receive this new thing that God is going to do. We prepare for a new life, a new beginning. But yet, we tell ourselves, this is how it works, and this is how it's going to go, and this is how it's going to be, and this is the way it's always been. But what if this year? We say, that's not what we want. We just want to be servants, and we want it to go exactly the way God said it would go. That there will be a new king that reigns in his kingdom here. That kingdom takes hold here. So that in all of our interactions, in all of our life, we start filtering through that kingdom of Jesus, through that sight of love, through that heart that says, you are mine and I am coming for you. You are favored. You are chosen by God. What if we start hearing that this year? That it doesn't matter that we're nobodies from nowhere. Because that's exactly who it is God chooses. And what if we said, starting next year, we are going to seek out God. We are going to follow God, and we are going to filter everything through him. I mentioned I was the pastor of discipleship, right? Good. Because starting next year, we're going to have several small groups kicking off. We have some people that are fired up about small groups. And what if this is God saying, I'm changing something. I'm challenging you to a new life. I want you to seek me more. And instead of saying, I do enough, I'm there every Sunday. You know, and sometimes that preacher talks a long time and I'm there an hour and a half. What if we said an hour and a half is not enough God? What if we said every Sunday is not enough God? What if we said, I want to know what this book says through the lens of Jesus so that when he changes something in my life and he calls me to step out of my comfort zone, or if he throws a wrench in my life, I can look at him and say, let it be, Lord. Let it be just as you say it is. Because if you haven't read this book, there's a lot of stuff that happens in here that nobody really wanted to happen. Because it changed their life. Because it challenged them to grow, to be different, to seek. It called them on the carpet and it said, repent and get to know me and follow me. It wasn't an invitation to just sit and listen. It was an invitation to follow that king. That king that God used Mary, used a little girl to bring into the world for you. For us. For this church today. What if we were all Marys and we said, let it be just as you say it will. And we hear the voice that says, my Holy Spirit will come upon you and I will overshadow you and it will happen. Amen. I can talk more. Okay. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are so good. God, you are always with us. You show up when we least expect it. You challenge us every day to be conformed to your heart. You challenge us to be servants and to follow you and to go where you take us and to trust that when you say your spirit will overcome us and you will overshadow us, to know that that is just how it's going to be. But Lord, that's not how it's always been done. That's not routine. It doesn't fit my schedule. It kind of throws a wrench in my plans. Lord, help us. Help us to seek your ways. Help us to seek your word. Help us to become servants. Help us to give up this control. Help us to hear your voice and to know that when you say your spirit will overcome us, it already has. Help us to live like Mary, with the attitude, with the strength, with the courage to say, Lord, we are your servants. And in all things, we pray, let it be just as you say. In Jesus' name, amen.
As people said, amen.